Eurovision. Ireland won't be there next year, and RTE won't broadcast the annual song contest, one of the most watched TV events of any year, after the European Broadcast Union confirmed yesterday that Israel would take part again next year without a vote. In a statement, RTE said, "It feels that Ireland's participation remains unconscionable given the appalling loss of lives in Gaza and the humanitarian crisis there, which continues to put the lives of so many civilians at risk. RTE remains deeply concerned by the targeted killing of journalists in Gaza during the conflict and the continued denial of access to international journalists to the territory. We did request an interview with RTE. No one was available." Ireland's decision to leave shortly came after that of the Netherlands and was followed by Spain and Slovenia. The head of their national broadcaster, Natalia Gostek, has been speaking to the BBC.
I think it's obvious. If we excluded Russia, like 1 week after they attacked Ukraine, I think the same rules should be applied also to Israel. Any aggressor, and we are talking about aggressor, should not be a part of the Eurovision Song Contest. Once we decided this, we need to, you know, continue with the same principle.
The director of Eurovision, Martin Green, denied that the contest was in crisis.
It's no ways a crisis. We've got 35 members or so going to join us next year. Now, I understand the four or five who might not come. That's their choice. I completely respect that. I very much hope they'll be back with us in 2027. You know, Eurovision was born from the ashes of the Second World War. It was designed to bring us together, and it will hit bumps in the road, and we have a complicated world, but we hope it's a temporary situation and we'll move forward.
For more, let's talk to Evelyn O'Rourke, our arts and media correspondent. Morning, Evelyn.
Good morning, Gavin. How are you?
Now, take us through what's happened here.
Well, look, I suppose there's a lot that happened last night, but, you know, it's been building up for some time. This has gone on for a while. I mean, being at Eurovision the last 2 years, there were very kind of loud protests happening outside the concert halls while the preparations for the concerts and the events were happening inside. So eventually got to a point, I suppose, where the clamour from outside really seeped through those walls. The EBU really had to face the inevitable and have a conversation around it. So in the General Assembly in July, it started being discussed about, you know, a motion about Israel's participation. There was a flurry of activity right through the summer into the early part of autumn. Then there was this proposal that there would be a vote to maybe to look at Israel's participation. Then the ceasefire came into effect, so that was kind of cancelled. And then all eyes were on the second. They meet for General Assembly twice a year. It was for the second General Assembly happening yesterday in Geneva. So what was happening then got a little bit confusing, actually, yesterday afternoon. So we knew that they had these new proposals, and I think you and I were talking about them before, these new measures they were bringing in to kind of reassure broadcasters that the EBU was listening to their concerns, that they weren't kind of, you know, carrying on and not really taking it on board. So they had suggested things like, for example, reintroducing juries for the semi-finals, that the public votes would, you know, be halved really from 20 to 10, all these kind of different measures. Also talking about the security of the voting system, saying they would, you know, put even more measures in to make sure that the voting system was totally stable and robust. So they'd done these as a kind of measures. So they kind of rolled these out yesterday at the meeting. There was a bit of confusion at one point going, is there a motion going to be passed about directly about Israel's participation? So there was a lot of confusing messages coming in and out. It seems now that what they did was they took a vote on the new measures. So every EBU member sitting there was asked, do you now accept and endorse these new measures? That was overwhelmingly positive. Around 68% voted in favour of them. We think 23% didn't, right? So at that point, it seemed the EBU went, right, well, that's a mandate. We're now fine. We now know that we have this new set of rules. And the new way going forward is, if you want to participate in the Eurovision, once you agree to comply with these rules, you're welcome. That seemed to clear the path for Israel to take part. And then very quickly, within a short amount of time, the broadcasters, individual broadcasters, started issuing their statements. So that's kind of what was happening. Okay. It was a very chaotic kind of hour on the outside of the, you know, the EBU headquarters trying to figure out what happened. But that's what it's we think today.
It is a bit confusing, level, though, because the dispute over voting, just for those who aren't watching the contest, in the last couple of years, there was a huge gap between the number of votes that Israel got from public votes compared to what they got from jury. Massive public vote compared to jury. And there were certainly allegations that wasn't correct. But the reason why countries withdrew from the contest had nothing to do with voting. It had to do with Gaza.
Yes, I think what happened was, as you say, there were allegations about that, you know, was Israel bringing in methods to boost their entrance performances, right? So that was irritating the fans as well. So I do think it's been an extremely kind of noisy topic, and you've so many different people involved in it. You've the broadcasters, obviously, and then you've these passionate fans on the ground. They were, I think, getting frustrated on that side of it. And then I think the organisers were beginning to ask questions too about, right, what system are we running here? Can we stand over this? Can we ask people to pay for votes? Do we know, you know, what they're paying for, etc.? So then for the broadcasters, though, their statements are very clear that it's about Gaza. I mean, the statement from RT, for example, yesterday is very strong on that. And that's been very clear from the broadcaster's point of view from Spain, really since the summer. I mean, in months leading up to it, but very clearly since the summer. I think with the EBU, they've been dancing a bit of a dance around this. I mean, the last 2 years at Eurovision, they were like, united in music, that's the theme, we're apolitical. You know, they were really trying to just stick to that message. But things really came to a head. And this kind of moment was inevitable, I think, because the broadcasters were taking such a strong point on it for that political reason.
There have been boycotts before. This is the biggest, though. Will more countries pull out?
Well, we know that a few more broadcasters had signalled that they were unhappy or were looking at this question of Israel's participation. So really, at this point, our eyes are focused towards Iceland, Belgium and Portugal to see what they're going to say. The board of Iceland's broadcaster said they think they're meeting next Wednesday and that they'll issue their decision then. At the bottom of the EBU statement, it says that they will have their full lineup announced before Christmas. So I suppose the pressure is really on now for countries to confirm it. I think some of the countries came together in a joint statement yesterday. I think Denmark, a few of those countries came together to say, look, we're happy now that, you know, we did the vote, we're happy with the new measures we're carrying on. So it's now, it's really going to happen over the next few days, getting that sense of which countries are going to go ahead. But yeah, those three in particular we've our eye on, but at this point I can't really confirm to you.
Evelyn, thank you. More on this later in the programme. It's